Now, joining us on the line to discuss this is Associate Professor Dr. Bronwyn Dalton in Foreign Countries and People at the University of Technology, Sydney. Bronwyn, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Now, looking at the way in which these talks will be taking place, as we mentioned there, this is the first time Kim Jong-un will be crossing the border into South Korea. Just how significant of a moment is that?
It's incredibly significant. This will be the first time in 70 years a North Korean leader has been on south of the 38th parallel.
And looking at some of the talks, as we mentioned, their denuclearization is probably top of the list when it comes to what a lot of countries want to talk to North Korea about. They're going to be discussing, South Korea will be discussing with them their nuclear weapons program. We've seen also talk around the United States are going to be talking with North Korea. President Donald Trump will be meeting with Kim Jong-un later this year if all goes to plan. They're also talking denuclearization. How do you think this Korea summit is likely to affect those denuclearization talks?
I don't think realistically that anyone can expect North Korea to give up its nuclear weapons. And I don't think that that will be a priority of the talks today. Today is about putting some limitations around the types of intercontinental level missiles, maybe restricting to a deal that just allows North Korea to keep shorter range missiles, something that Japan incidentally is worried about because they can still reach Japan. But probably the main thing on the agenda today is to discuss a peace treaty, because since 1953, North and South Korea have remained technically at war. It's just been a ceasefire.
Yes, a lot of us actually forget that the two countries have been at war for well over 50 years now.
Exactly. And the reason why it could never progress is a North Korean condition of formalising a peace treaty was that the US were to remove its 28,000 plus troops from South Korean soil. Now, Kim Jong-un is actually being flexible, apparently, about that condition, paving the way for what could be a historic, genuine treaty.
How are the United States likely to take that, as I say, given that they are talking to Kim Jong-un later this year? And in fact, the former CIA director, new Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, has already been in talks with Kim Jong-un.
It's very hard to predict, obviously, the US reaction to things, because in many ways we've seen a wild return from the hawkish, provocative language, and now even to Trump's latest tweet saying that Kim Jong-un has been honourable. But then we have the appointment of James Bolton, who is known as quite a hawkish, pro-military kind of person. So we'll have to see, but the relationship between South Korea, United States and North Korea have been the best they've been for the last 3-4 years.
We're just focusing on the two Koreas again. The South Koreans have created a slogan, "Peace, a New Start," for the inter-Korean summits. Both sides, obviously, though, are taking the kind of appropriate security measures. What's the likelihood, do you feel, that everything kind of does go to plan? We might be seeing a peace treaty between the two nations.
I'm very optimistic, especially given that Kim Jong-un has been flexible on the presence of US troops. So really, there should be nothing that stands in the way of signing a new treaty.
And taking that even a step further, obviously these kind of talks bring up the spectre of unification again between North and South Korea, unified Korea once again. Now, that kind of talk, obviously, it's very, very hopeful, very, very optimistic that we could see that within our lifetimes. Although, We've seen some pushback from South Koreans against the idea of unification. There is fears amongst a lot of South Koreans, especially young South Koreans who have lived with this situation all their lives, that it would be expensive, it would see an influx of North Koreans into what they consider their country. What kind of considerations are being taken with those kind of concerns from South Korean citizens? What kind of concerns are being taken into these talks, if any at all?
Well, the outcome of the talks is probably already agreed by the two parties, Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in. They would have already drafted some sort of joint declaration, and the actual meeting itself will be heavily scripted and stuck to the pre-agreed outcome, which I think will be a declaration and hopefully a peace treaty. As for unification, that's not on the table, and I don't see it as something likely to ever happen, at least in a peaceful sense. It would only occur if I think North Korea collapsed. And you're quite right, the South Koreans do not identify themselves as part of a Korean brethren of North and South. They see themselves as a distinct ethnic group, South Koreans, who have a lot more in common with the Western world and the rest of the developed world than they do with North Korea. And many feel that they don't owe North Korea any of the resources that the South has built up. And, yeah, they're not in favour of unification at all.
Well, obviously, a great deal of tensions around the world. It would be terrific to see the tensions in this particular area finally, once and for all, met with a peace treaty, met with a reduction of these kind of tensions. Bronwyn, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time.
Not a problem. Bye.
That was Associate Professor Dr. Bronwyn Dalton, Professor in Foreign Countries, or Associate Professor in Foreign Countries and People at the University of Technology, Sydney, discussing with us what we might expect, some optimistic estimations for the upcoming Inter-Korean Summit.